Well, good morning, Lake B. It is good to be with you today. The three of us are gathered together again to share the word of the Lord on this new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
As Pastor Lena noted in the previous sermon, we are going deep today and for the remaining few sermons to really dive deep into what it means to ponder and to reflect deeply in this moment. There are so many quotes I could have pulled to start this sermon today because many theologians and pastors and ministers and just people trying to walk the faith, good people have thought a lot about what it means to ponder the path we take, especially in seasons of conflict or seasons of doubt or fear or even seasons of loss. And what does it mean to ponder? And Mary has been that for us, as Pastor Lena shared last week, is that moment of pondering for Mary, taking very deeply that word. So this morning, as we engage John chapter 1, and word becoming flesh, we are gonna talk a lot about today what that means for us to ponder word becoming flesh. Who wants to start us off this morning and share with us what it means for them, for this word in John chapter 1 to from a pastoral perspective, but also just your own walk?
Well, good morning, everybody. I think for me, I went back and looked at some of the language stuff that's going on in that passage, and I'm reminded that that word, well, what I read today was that the word became flesh and lived among us, right? And this idea that God, Emmanuel, living with us, and I mean, with us, and I was imagining, like in the original language, it talks about God tabernacling or making God's tent with the people in the wilderness, right? That it's this idea, they would have heard that and go, oh, wow, the God that tented or was with us, our people, throughout our history in the wilderness is the God that became flesh and now is with us in a very real way. And we talk about this a lot at Lake Burien, and sometimes I think, do we talk about this too much? But I don't think you can talk about this too much, actually, the notion that God became skin and bones and hung out here so that we could get a picture of what that looks like.
I think you also mentioning how you use the word tent with us. It's that Greek word lived with us. Often it's I think Pastor Lena is alluding to that Greek word where it means tabernacle. So he's residing with us. God is present. And what's interesting for me in this really the passage about the incarnation, it's kind of stating a it's helping us understand the incarnation and what's going on. But I think what's interesting is that God has been present in the wilderness, as Pastor Lena mentioned, all throughout the scriptures. But this is just a brand new, radical, proximate way of being present with us so that we can sing, as we did last week, Emmanuel, that God is actually with us. In a radically new way. So that's the thing that jumps out at me. That God's presence is showing up in a very different way, to be right next to us.
Yeah.
I'm excited in the weeks ahead to hear from people. How is God with you? How have you experienced God, the presence of God with you? There's a lot to imagine, to think about, to talk about, and so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, we'll have several folks join us over the next coming weeks, and I'm really excited, as Pastor Lena, you mentioned that. And one of the things that this text brings out, John 1, verses 1 through 14, was essentially John himself is a witness to that, which in many ways is like many of us. We are called to be witnesses of that light, right? We are called to be witnesses of that light. And in these kind of seasons we're in, that it just really seems difficult to do, right? It just seems much easier to become, I think I heard the word Debbie Downer was one that I heard, or, you know, just Eeyore, you name the animated character that most represents what it means to not be a witness of the light, but to be a witness of the darkness that we experience right now, right? John bears witness to that light. And we too then are called to be witnesses of that light that enters the world. How difficult, and for those of you listening in today, you know, join us in the chat, join us in this conversation. But we, as you know, for those of you who have heard us, we're not going to shy away from the fact that we probably are more familiar with witnessing to the darkness of the world than we are to witness to the light of the world.
Right. And so, you know, as I'm thinking about this idea of pondering, right, that's, I think, the thing to deeply consider or to wrestle with or to let kind of rumble around in our minds, you know, how do we train ourselves? How do we allow the Spirit to train us to actually see and witness to the light and not become, you know, like, it's hard though. I mean, it is hard because we've been, you know, experiencing some really hard things in the last several, you know, since pandemic. And so, you know, where are we able to point at things and go, that's God, that right there is light. And so, you know, it's hard to do when we're not together. You know, Sunday mornings gathering is one of those places that, you know, many of us kind of, you know, go, I feel it because we're together. And so this has been an interesting time of formation in us to be people who are allowing the Spirit of God to train our eyes in a new way to see.
Right. And us being separate almost, I mean, as we're talking about the incarnation and the enfleshment of things, as we're separate worshiping in our homes online, what does it mean to be incarnational as a community when we can't experience the proximity among us physically? And I think that, the other thing that this passage lifts up is that, and related to what I just said, is that this is not just concept anymore. This is in the flesh. Like, and so for us at home, I think, as we think about what does it, as we ponder these things and as we think about the incarnation, what does it mean to be in the flesh in this current mode is something that I think about as well.
Oh. Mm-mm. I'm not going to let you get away that easy. I love that because it challenges the way we have made Jesus theoretical.
Right.
We've made following Jesus theoretical.
That's right.
We've made the faith theoretical. And really the word made flesh is less about us pointing back to Jesus, if I'm hearing you correctly, pointing back to Jesus and going, there's this historical Jesus, and that's then right. we put a period there, as opposed to putting a comma and saying, and that word made flesh is manifesting itself in real people.
Among us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the coming flesh, right? It's Jesus was not theoretical. I mean, the real Jesus, right? Jesus actually, there are practical, tangible demonstrations of the word becoming flesh, right? And so, and those are, and the way Jesus did that was not always easy, as we know, right? I mean, it was pretty clear. Jesus showing, God showing up in the flesh wasn't theoretical in that it actually did flip things upside down. You know, things that, well, those the passage about the crooked roads and the rough ways, you know, those things change, not theoretically, but like really.
One theologian even said that in this passage, I think they said the body becomes a place of revelation. And I'm like, that blew me away, because revelation is something that happens outside of us often. That's the way we conceptualize that. But this idea of the in the flesh incarnation, the revelation, the place of revelation is in the body of Christ. And so what does that mean for us?
So can I just want to add that the theologians who have spoken about it being revelation, a different tradition would also say that revelation is about a revolution. Mm. From two perspectives, revolution in terms of turning things around, right? That the Messiah would actually seek to be embodied in flesh is a revelation and a revolution of historic, like, religious thought, right? Mm. and how faith gets lived out, but also a revolution as in a circling around, a cycle, a coming again. Mm. And so we expect Jesus to return both as revelation and as a revolution. Mm-hmm. Like, that's mind blown right there. Like, right. I was like, wow, because that's essentially what he's asking us to have, have the kind of walk with Christ that is both revelation and revolution. Ooh.
A walk. Okay, Lake B. A walk of faith that is both revelation and revolution. You know, that if that doesn't get us up in the morning to actually think about our lives differently and our formation differently, that your life, wherever you are walking around, wherever your feet tread, your life and our corporate life together is one of revelation and revolution. Tally, something came up on my feed from 2015 that you preached, 2015, right? The word needed a community to be enfleshed in. And, you know, I think it's hard because of the, because we're not physically together, but, you know, I imagine this is like God, the Spirit of God just going, just give me a body, y'all. Just give me a body.
Just give me a body, right? Just give me a body. And I will just, I don't mean to like come out of like the third heaven to talk about Matrix, the recent movie Resurrections, but I will do that to say the brilliance of the only thing brilliant about that movie, if you haven't seen it, I won't say anything else, but the only thing brilliant about that movie is the concept that what makes it problematic for us to think about a resurrection is we only think about it in terms of perfection. Mm-hmm. And really, really the kind of body that God's trying to embody,
yes,
is not a perfect one, but is one that needs the fullness of grace and truth, right? Mm-hmm. Which is how John 14:1-14, how we, and the word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So yeah. I'm only looking for a broken body to embody. I'm not looking for a perfect body, right? So we don't have to perfect ourselves. We just have to be a vessel that can be embodied.
That is good news.
Is that like, that is such good news, Paul. Yeah. That is such good news.
So church, like, be, you know, we don't have to be perfect. This is what I think what's being teed up here is that we just need to be available and be who we are, be the broken individuals and the broken body that the Spirit can enflesh and bring life and breathe life into. Man, and there's so much possibility there. And in that, I think we don't have to fear the things that we might be called to witness to in ourselves. And, you know, like to, I often think back to the summer of 2020 and the season of protest, you know, when it was every week. And that's often what I think about when I think about the word becoming flesh, is how do we be in those places as witness to light and truth and justice. And I feel like we're still in that place. And I think Lake B, you've done a phenomenal job in walking this out for 20 months, staying with the conversation, this conversation about what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit and fleshing this word that needs a body, right? Oh. That was so good. Revelation, revolution. Come on, guys.
One thing. one of the things, Lena, you prompted me on this, and so I'll just, I think one of the things that's beautiful about Liberian as a body of believers is that it's not a perfect place, and it doesn't try and be that. Neither does it try to be the light of the world as much as it tries to see the light of the world, to witness to it, bear witness to it, right? To bear witness to it, as John says, in dark places, or in places that are not as obvious, or places that are hidden. I think that's one of the beauties of what God is doing at Lake Burien, and in working with other churches and other places. That's one of the things that, you know, we look for. It's like, can they see and witness and bear witness to what God is doing in the inobvious, right? In the hidden spaces of our neighborhoods and communities.
And it's happened over Zoom in large part, you know, these conversations every Sunday. And to all of you that are listening in, you know, praise the Lord for your faithfulness every week to come and to listen and to engage and to take these conversations into your friendships and into your homes. I feel like there's something about this particular season that we're in. And I try not to over-spiritualize the things that I feel and discern about what God is doing in our community. But I do think that these conversations that we've been having about formation, discipleship, and seeing are really important for us. Yeah. And y'all are doing a great job. And it's going to be fun in the next couple of weeks to hear some of you talk about this.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and Paul, one of the things that, you know, I think our friendships go back several years, but it just in talking about this came into my feed from my daughter in a different kind of way. She texted me and she said, when are we going back over Paul and Carol's house? And I bring that up because one of the things it does for me when I ponder this text is where are the places that me and my family go to experience light and life? Where do we intentionally put ourselves?
You know,
where are the relationships that we hold as both light and life? And I think our children and the young people of our lives do a good job of showing us oftentimes where those spaces are, right? Because we're a little jaded as adults, you know, we're paying bills, we're adulting, we're doing all, and sometimes for us it's just, oh, we finished the day. Right. But young people, you all have insight into sometimes the light and life of the world that is, and for my daughter, it was Paul and Carol over dinner. Where are the places that you all find light in life? Like, who are those relationships, church? And those are the things in these times that we invest in.
It also, I think, for me, does we're talking about this idea of perfection, and one of the words that comes up for me also is like, the where does the light and night, you know, Tali, you talked about where are the spaces that are not so obvious, and sometimes those spaces are in our own lives, where this something needs to be pondered, right? And this idea, as we talk about this idea of perfection and the way that we've been conditioned in our churches to seek that perfection. And I think one of the words that comes up is this idea of orthodoxy. Mm. And somehow orthodoxy has become less as a way to measure us, to put parameters on God. Mm. And to measure, and humans have used that as a way of power, to measure against rather than giving us power to live into. And this idea that last week, Pastor Lena, you said that, you know, Mary is an example of how the gospel remains open-ended, and how we have to, I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater when I'm talking about like, what do we do with orthodoxy, but I want the light to shine into even those spaces that have become too familiar. As you said, we are too busy adulting and we've become jaded and familiar. In the places of our own familiarity with our church and faith experience, where does the light need to shine in those spaces so that we can see that God is trying not to be present with orthodox, pure, righteous, but with people, with us, where we're at? And I think that's a big thing that I'm pondering right now.
That's so dope. At the end of the year, I don't know if you all do this, but Paul, to you know, kind of riff off of your pastoral instruction there in my own life, how do I ponder at the end of the year, take stock, ponder, reflect on those moments and those places? Like, am I intentional about that? Do I diary? Do I sit down with Crystal and talk through that? Because if we are to take Pastor Lena's instruction from last week, that Mary's pondering was not haphazard or incidental, mm-hmm. but an intentional act, then what ways am I pondering these moments that Paul just reflected upon in his previous words, right? And I think all of us have the opportunity, praise God, to be able to sit down with someone, friends, family, community, and do that pondering, not as an isolated right. individual incidental act, right. but maybe it's a community.
Yeah, and I think that pondering opens us up to that idea, the revelation and the revolution. Unless we do the act and the work of pondering, I don't think we'll be able to get there, because we haven't allowed then for the light to shine in us. Pondering allows us, breaks open space for the light, so to speak, to shine in us.
That's right.
In those places.
That's so true, Paul. And for some of you, you know, introverts like me, I was talking to Crystal about like the end of the year, I'm going to, you know, find a Airbnb somewhere and just be by myself and work through. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be with my family and Crystal. And I'm going to do that together, right? We're going to be in that space together. So we've been talking intentionally about what does it mean for us to be, and what are the broken places in our lives that we can move out of the darkness into the light? What are those things? And I've been intentionally doing that. I think it's incredible. I would advocate anyone just to take that moment from Pastor Lena's sermon about Mary and bring it forward to today and just say the things Mary pondered in the darkness, she brought to the light with that confession, mm. right? And in this way, John's chapter one is very revolutionary and a revelation in that way. Is maybe our job is to bear witness of things that are happening in the dark and bring them to the light in our own lives, but in the lives of our community as well. Yeah, I could go on and on about this because I think it's just one of those key things, Pastor Lena, that, like I said, has become really the DNA of what it means to be a part of Liberian for me and my family, but also for me of the folks that I think we share this time with, right? This space with called Liberian and the community of the city of Berrien as well. Like that's kind of our DNA, if you will.
And it is a thumbprint, right? God's thumbprint on us. You talk about DNA. This is the identity that God wants to give to God's people, right? Is this, is, I need a body. I'll go back to that. The spirit needs a body to make it real for the world, to make it real for our neighbors. And we're not perfect. But the option, the other option is not to do anything, which as believers, that's not an option, I don't think.
Option. Nope. Not an option. Well, this has been such a rich time. Thank you so much, both of you, for the opportunity to dive deep into this. And even such a, to me, it was just very apropos for communion that's coming up is to the point of the broken body being the one God wants to embody. We break the bread for that reason. I think it could be said Christ could have kept the bread whole and just blessed it. Instead, Christ breaks the bread and then blesses it. I think that's so dope. He breaks the bread and then he blesses it. So thank you, everyone. God bless you. Pastor Paul, Pastor Lena, closing words for us today.
Grateful for this community and for like a community to embody this conversation week in and week out and all the days in between. So thank you.
And I'd say as we enter the new year, hear the good news that God is not looking for the perfect, but God's looking for a body for revelation and revolution. That's a good word right there.
Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Hope to see you soon.